Welcome to My Fix It Up Life. Today we are talking about real estate realities and dealing with that giant purchase, that biggest purchase we all make at some point, or maybe all of us at some point in our life, buying and selling or homes or flipping or anything.
And we have a very special guest, the author of Keep Calm, It's Just Real Estate, who will be joining us in just a minute, Egypt Sherrod. You probably have seen her on HGTV, the host of Property Versions, and she has been helping people for more than a dozen years buy and sell houses all over the country. And I just love her. I mean, look at this. The evidence is right here, the sticky tabs in the book. I have been marking it, so I've got tons of questions that I want to ask her. But things, though, that about real estate and realtor realities is that figuring out if you want to sell it yourself, sell your home yourself, for sale by owner, figuring out if you want to do an unlisted, so a private sale, you know, and what's the difference between a foreclosed property and, you know, all of the other kinds of things that can happen and trying to find a deal with real estate. Egypt talks about it in her book and also on her website. She's got several websites, EgyptSaidSo.com and EgyptSharadRealEstate.com. And one of the things I think that probably we could get a little bit distracted with how beautiful a house is that, you know, you have to make sure that you go and you look at what's in the basement, because the basement really tells a lot of stories about a house.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, from the structural standpoint, from the history of the house, like if the people were clean, lived there before, if they just sort of repainted 2 days before you got there.
Be suspicious, too, you know, if they painted the floor of their basement, because that could hide some signals and signs that the basement does flood, you know, if it's an unfinished space. And one thing that Egypt says in her book is that you want to visit the property right after it rains. If you're interested in a house, or, you know, if you're buying a house, to not just look at it on a nice dry day, but also to look at it right after there's been a storm that's come through, because you'll find out stuff that the realtor might not even know about the house, that the seller's not saying.
The wet, you know, sort of culvert in the yard. It looks like it's not a puddle all the time, but it's under 3 inches of water when it rains. And then your kids can't go outside, or you have to landscape it, or there's a ground spring or something like that. That is a great tip, actually. I think that's really good. If you live in the desert, you might have to wait a while.
You might have to wait a while for the rain to come. But most places, you can kind of figure it out. And, you know, most people make a decision about any property in the first minute of seeing it. So thinking about, you know, how your house looks when you're driving by or in those photographs and decluttering and all of that. But there's some things that your real estate agent might not actually be telling you in order to get you as the listing agent, which is they might tell you your property is worth more than what it actually is just to get you to sign up with them. Or they might tell you that it's worth less than it actually is to get a quick commission on that, or to just add it to their list of homes that they have under them for sale too.
You want a real estate agent who's thinking about time. This is my personal experience. How to get that house into a check in your pocket as fast and as reasonably as possible. Anybody can sell it for $2. It's as fast and as much as possible. And that's a hard balance to strike.
It is a hard balance to strike. And, you know, I read an article, I think it was about realtors, like a year ago. It said that if you look at how long realtors' houses stay on the market versus their clients' houses, their house always stays on the market longer, more days, because I think that they, you know, have a little bit more of a financial interest in their house when they sell it and want to make sure they can get the best price. But it also might be that whole designer syndrome too, which I'm very familiar about. If I have to pick something out for a client, I got it. Yep. If I have to pick something out for me, painstaking.
Yeah. Lots of carpenters' houses who do great work, their house is a mess. So that is a good point to
it
be
is.
Careful of that.
It is. And
but
you know what? We have to thank our sponsors. And if you are thinking about selling your house, You have to go check out our sponsors because Sherline makes awesome paint tools. You will love them.
And you are going to want to paint almost for sure, or do a drywall patch because the door has knocked a hole in the drywall or the tricycle or whatever. Millions of problems happen. So do visit our sponsors. They're the ones who bring this radio show and podcast to you. HideTools.com and Sherline.com.
And Hide makes some really awesome little quickie little patch repairs if you're taking down pictures off your walls and you want to repair everything and make sure everything looks nice and pretty and smooth. And speaking of smooth,
we have to see if Egypt is here.
Mark.
It's the most important decision you can make sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
are we talking about falling in love?
Oh, jeez. No, whether or not I should drink some of this coffee. Right,
well, coffee's always a must, and we're talking about homes today, which is very unusual for us, right? We never talk about housing. We never talk about living in a house.
No.
Fixing a house.
No.
Fixing up a house.
Right.
But today we're talking about buying a house.
Buying or selling with realtor extraordinaire. By the way, I already have to go into an immediate complaint, Egypt Sherrod, HGTV.
Already?
Not with you.
Complaint?
Not with you. What's with the commercial that says realtor? Are you familiar with this?
The National Association of Realtors, how they pronounce realtor.
They say realtor. Not realtor.
That is new for me. I haven't seen it. But honestly, I don't get to watch much TV anyway, so I haven't seen it.
We're the same way. We'll hold that against you later.
You know what? I haven't been watching a lot of TV lately too, because I've been reading this book.
Teresa's holding up. Oh, get out! Get out! That was awesome.
Keep calm. It's just real estate by this wonderful author, Egypt.
Oh,
you look a lot like her on the cover.
Really? Let me see.
And
her hair is lighter. My hair is dark. So.
Well, that's, you know, maybe you're like twins. But the thing I've been doing with this book, though, I've been using a pack of sticky notes as my bookmark, because every single time I see something that I am like, oh my goodness, that is awesome, I can tab it immediately and I don't have to get out a pen.
I'm glad you have a lot of little sticky notes then. That's that rock.
Yes, I do.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mortgage. Which home loan is right for you? That's how I feel. I feel like a child. When the mortgage dude or whatever starts to go into, well, you want a thing and a thing and a thing. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want it complicated.
You want it simple.
I
broken
want it
down,
simple.
Layman's terms. Keep
and
it simple, stupid,
yes.
Right? K-I-S-S. That's what they say. Keep it
yes.
simple, stupid.
Yes.
I like K-I-S-S too.
Oh, honey.
Can I say something? This is the coolest ever, being able to see you finally, because last time we did the interview, you know, I could hear your beautiful voices, but now I get to see that you guys are even more attractive than I could have imagined, and you get to see my wet hair as I wash my hair. I didn't know you would be able to see me, so I had to run upstairs and put some makeup on. So, for whoever is watching live, hello, let your soul glow.
Well, you look gorgeous.
Thank you.
And that is true. When you're happy, you always look more attractive than you are. That's why Mark always puts on a sad face, because he's afraid to hurt people with his attractiveness, right?
If you unleash this stuff, Egypt, you probably wouldn't know. You're just gorgeous.
Oh.
I, on the other hand, am swashbuckling.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been touring around, signing books, selling out books, standing room only for this book, which is absolutely the best real estate book that I have read. And I have read a lot of these books, I have to say. And if anyone is thinking about buying a house, even if you've already bought a house and you're selling your second house or whatever, it's a good thing to read this book. And, you know, there's some things in here that you know about, but there are a lot of things that Egypt gives you sort of the real deal on what the different things are.
Thank you, number one. That's a huge compliment, because I know that you have to be telling the truth when you say you've read a lot of real estate books. And to say that it's the best real estate book ever, I mean, I'm humbled by that. I so appreciate it, especially because I literally sat in my bedroom closet and wrote it. hiding from my 3-year-old, trying to, no joke.
Awesome. That, this is gold.
That is my only piece in my house, is when I can hide in my closet and they can't find me. But, you know, to see that it has been so well received, and you're right. I could have never imagined that as I was traveling around to all the Barnes & Nobles doing signings that we were going to sell out and have so many people show up. For a few reasons, because it's not a scandalous tell-all book, right?
It's a tell-all book, though, but a different kind.
You know, you can see, oh, I've got to get. But it's exciting to see that people are interested and passionate now about real estate and about getting an education in real estate.
And I love it, too, because you not only talk about all of the factual things about, you know, a mortgage and what you have to do to get your house ready, but you're also talking about, like, your personal experience about crying when you bought your first property. Yeah. And also talking about kids and how it's important to think about them when you're buying a house. Are you going to stay there for a while? Moving around affects their psychology and how their development is. And thinking about things that aren't just very straightforward about, you know, that giant wad of paper that you have to look through at closing. You just turn the paper and you're like, am I buying an elephant? Am I buying a house? What's going on?
Pages 1 through 300 say, that's what the address of the property is. 301 through, and you're just, sure.
You know, Mark and Teresa, when I was writing this book, I said to myself a few things. I said, how is this going to be different from anything they can just Google on the internet, right? Everything you want is on the internet now, right? Maybe, maybe not. And how is it going to hold the attention of people who, you know, are just teetering right now? They want to learn, but maybe real estate, the topic feels so clinical or cerebral that they think they're going to fall asleep. How do I accomplish all of that and at the same time, you know, give the very best of the information? So I said, I'm going to tell my truth, you know, all of my funny stories in real estate as an agent, as an investor, as a homeowner as well, you know, some points where I fell on my butt and got back up. And I put this story in there, but eventually the publisher took it out, I think, because, you know, well, you put everything together and then the publisher kind of streamlines. But the one story that you're not going to see in there is when I flipped my first property and lost $17,000 of what I thought my profit was going to be, because my third floor tenant, I put her in. She was a single mother, gave her an opportunity. You know, she couldn't seem to get another apartment, but I put her in. She didn't want to pay. She had a small copay on the apartment because the state was helping to fund it. Didn't want to pay that and kept flushing her weave down the toilet. Hair weave, and backed up the waistline three floors. Yes, cost me $17,000 to fix. And so that was another chapter. Maybe that'll be in my next book about investing. But that was a chapter that was in the book that you don't get a chance to see, talking about, you know, when you flip properties or when you're investing in properties and you want to be a landlord, what to be careful of. So that's coming next. But I just thought I'd throw that out there because I was so upset they took that chapter out. It had some of the funniest stuff in the book.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, that brain snake, I may always come out gross, but that must have been so extra phenomenally disgusting.
Well,
that
you
there
know
should
what?
Be a whole chapter on just gooey stuff.
Yeah, that would take the whole book. No, the guy who I called over, to, you know, I kept having him come over, this plumber, to fix it. I'm like, you're not doing a good job, apparently, because this is the 8th time they're calling me and everything's backed up. He said, Miss Sherrod, you got to come over and take a look at this. And when I got to the property, looked in the basement, it looked like skunks everywhere. And I'm like, what kind of animal is that? He said, no, it's not an animal. Hair weave piles. Just piles of hair weave.
Did he cut the bottom of the drain stack off and just let it come out?
No, actually, he wound up snaking all the way up to the third floor. I don't know how he did what he did the first few times, but eventually he wound up snaking and it just kept coming down. It was like a string of them just kept coming down. And something he hit released everything. And, like, you know, he thought it was animals coming out of the pipe as well at first. And it was just, Okay, anyway, that's the next book.
Goodness gracious me. Oh, my dear.
Can I submit a chapter on the rat job we did? I will not tell you any more about that. What? Maybe I'll do a blog.
I think that's a blog, baby. I do have to ask.
She's got the look on her face, though.
No, what? I wanna ask her questions. She's here. Egypt
okay,
is
I'm
here.
Ask away.
She wants to know about the rats.
So, Make Me Move. Now.
Yes. I mean, no.
Do you know about this, Mark? Make Me Move.
I got it. I'll be over here.
All right. So I didn't know about Make Me Move, and I was reading that, and I'm blown away. Like, I know about Zillow. I look on that sometimes, and you can see all the, like, foreclosed properties near you and things that aren't really listed places, and that's cool. But Make Me Move, like, who does that, and how does that whole thing work? Have you been involved in a Make Me Move?
Well, for Make Me Move, as real estate agents, we don't get paid, so I've not been involved in it. Usually it's people saying, you know what, make me an offer that I can't refuse, essentially, and it's becoming very popular. You know, here's the risk that you can run. Houses, you know, to maintain their value, you want them to be able to appraise, right? So what we're seeing is a lot of people who are, you know, making offers because they can afford to. They have the extra cash above and beyond. And this is happening here primarily because of the shortage of inventory that we're experiencing. So it's literally where people have been walking up, putting letters in mailboxes saying, I love your house, can I buy it? I love your house, can I buy it? I'll make an offer, et cetera. And I think that is what gotten the whole Make Me Move phenomenon on its feet. But I think it's interesting. I mean, it's business, you know? But
it's absolutely crazy.
As realtors, we don't get paid on those.
Yeah.
So as far as like getting a realtor, and I've been reading your book, and the whole thing about having an agent who is a buyer and a seller at the same time, I can't wrap my head around why that would be ever a good idea to do, Egypt.
Okay.
Is there ever a good reason why you would do that?
You're talking about dual disclosed agents?
Yes.
Okay. That's a very good question, and that came up actually at one of the book signings. Someone felt the same way. Well, why would I ever do that? There's a number of reasons, you know, why you could or why it may make sense, specifically in a situation where now, you know, it becomes a seller's market, right? And so when there's a seller's market, there's less inventory, so the sellers have, you know, they basically have the upper hand, and buyers are just trying to get their offer accepted. And so if someone has been in a situation where they've been in bidding wars now several times, it's happening in many states where there's just a shortage of inventory, so at every price point, there are bidding wars again, but you're not getting your offer accepted. Some of the strategies people have used and can use is to say, okay, you know what? If I'm going through a buyer's agent and the listing agent who controls the property, you know, doesn't necessarily put any stock in my offer, if I go with the listing agent as a dual disclosed agent, maybe I have a better shot at getting my offer accepted. Maybe they'll push for me a little more. Now, truth be told, Marcus Teresa, that's not supposed to happen. All offers are supposed to be considered equally. But again, the idea or the concept is if I go with the listing agent, it'll be within their interest to get my offer accepted because they get to keep both sides of the commission. So many people are doing that.
Wow.
Yeah. So you raise a good point and something that I've seen at least anecdotally in buying and selling in houses and flipping houses over the years. And it's what a realtor told me, who is a great realtor. And it's the kind, and you're certainly in the category I'm about to describe. He called it a 90-10 business. It's a business where 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And the rest of the people out there kind of, yeah, okay, I'm all done explaining that as you nod your head and glow.
Like,
clearly there's a level of professionalism that you bring to it. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. But that is good to know because I stumbled into this guy. You know, total dartboard thing. He was great. I found that out. And since then, a realtor is a real shopping experience. As I decide to sell a home, I then start buying, I guess, a realtor. So you've pre-answered my question with facial expressions.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, and you know, some people don't get it or don't necessarily believe it. That how many people do you know actually went to school for real estate, and they at some point in their career they got a real estate license, or they hold it, or they are a referral agent in some capacity. They park their license, but they're not really practicing. Believe it or not, it's somewhere around 90% of all licensees are not practicing agents. Only about 10% are, and that's according to the National Association of Realtors.
Wow.
That's a crazy number. Well, you know, I want to talk about, you know, the fact that buyers decide about a house in the first, like, minute that they see it. So is that whether it's, like, online pictures, making sure you have professional pictures, or driving by and curb appeal? Do you ever run into the situation where the homeowner just really can't see that they need to do something about the way the house looks? And how do you sort of handhold them through the process and not say, you know what, this doesn't look so good?
It's really about striking a delicate balance with the homeowners. When I go on listing appointments, you know, I have my process, and, you know, it's a little bit of a therapy session as well, in addition to a consultation, because you're right. People take their homes very personal, their decorating taste very personal. You know, the odd 10-foot Buddha that may be sitting in the middle of their house, it's very personal, you know, for them. And although if a buyer comes in, they may not get it, and it may take up all the space, you know, in the room, et cetera. So it's a delicate balance that I have to strike when I sit down with someone, you know, and I say, okay, this is what the comparable show your house is currently worth, considering these factors, X, Y, and Z. If we want to be competitive and sell your house for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time, which is what we want to do, right? And I get them to agree with me the whole way through. You want to get the most money for your house. Yes. You want to sell it in the shortest period of time. Yes. You want to be competitive. Yes. Okay, so are you willing to do all the things that I'm going to suggest you do to get there? And usually they say, well, what are you going to suggest I do? I say, okay, you get a piece of paper and pen, I'm going to get a piece. Let's go from the front door and act as if you're a buyer touring your house. I want you to see all the things that they're going to see. And I point it out. Sometimes I can see where they go from smile to, so you're saying we have to paint? So you're saying that I have to move some furniture? You know, I can see that happen. But I kind of forewarn them. I'm going to say, listen, I'm on your team. I want to see you win. I'm going to do the best job I possibly can to sell your house. But I need you to help me help you. Can you do that? And then usually say, yeah. Okay, there are going to be some things I'll say that may offend you. Please don't get offended. I'm just telling you how buyers think. So I've already set the groundwork for them as we walk throughout. And often, yeah, there will be some challenges where, you know, it's usually the wife who thinks she has this amazing design taste. And, you know, she put the three different wallpapers in the den. And to her, it's absolutely beautiful. It's going to increase my property value. You know, and I have to say, actually, buyers prefer neutral. They need to be able to see their furniture, their design taste in your property. And so things that are a little outlandish or wild, or you might think are wonderfully designed, it may not be universally received. So our goal is to neutralize, declutter, and declutter generally means, I mean, even if your house is clean, it means taking 2/3 of everything you see on your shelves, even almost 2/3 of the furniture in the room, getting rid of it, put it in your garage or put it in storage, so now we can see the size of the room and all of the house offerings. It's not an easy job to do. It's a delicate balance. I have actually lost a listing, you know, once or twice because they just couldn't take the truth, you know. But then I watched someone else list it and watched the house sit for almost 200 days, and I think eventually they realized I was telling the truth.
But you interrupt every question that I ask. I just want you to know it's not some of them. I'm so excited, though. Every single one.
But I wanted to.
I know. You're a ball hog.
It's called marriage.
I am a ball hog. Go ahead.
It's 2-1. I know. That's why the hand went up, the whole thing. I've no idea what my question was.
All right, then I'll go.
No, I know.
It's your world, baby. You just do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's her world. I'm just living in it.
Put that pink tie back on first.
I know. Where's my tie?
While you get dressed, I have a real question.
I have a real question, too. Mm-hmm. And then you can ask your real question.
Well, we're going to be running out of time.
We're not running out of time. We'll go as long as we need to go to get this story. So, you're hilarious. Thank you. Building on what you said, you know, the people who just sort of can't see it, do you have, and I'm sure you do, some sort of extreme example of you're walking through the backyard and there are just dumpster-sized piles of fill-in-the-blank, dead bushes, rotten doghouse, playset, the kids are 27, you know, and you can't break through without really risking tipping that balance saying, look, you're a psychopath. you need to bulldoze this backyard or something along those lines.
I actually, I helped a hoarder sell their property before, and that was probably the hardest thing that I've done in real estate, because it's an emotional attachment that they have to these things. And at one point, he was a mechanic, so he had old rusted car pieces everywhere in his backyard, in his front yard, some old rusted car pieces literally in the sunroom. It was when you walked into the house, there was not a place to step where there was not something. And so really what needed to be done was to have a cleaning crew come in and just trash everything. There was a dead cat under, yes, there was a dead cat. It's horrible.
I'm hanging my head.
Did the owner know
one of the piles? And so it was probably the most difficult thing I ever had to do. And he cried. This poor man cried as we got rid of everything. He knew he had to. He was very sick, so he had to leave the property. And so he knew he had to. But it became a family affair where I had to get his sons involved to talk to him and keep him calm so that we could clean this house out and sell it. You know, he was, you know, going to go into financial ruin if we didn't. So. I think I got a little more emotionally involved than I usually do or than I should have, but, you know, it's hard to see a grown man cry, too. But, yes, the hardest thing has been listing a property for a hoarder because there's so many emotions that fly around with that.
That is, like, so unbelievable, working with a hoarder. We just have a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure everybody knows to go to EgyptSharadRealEstate.com.
You got
some really awesome tips, you know, a list of very specific things about how to sell your home. Like if you have 17 sweaters in your closet, pare down to just two. Like how to actually get rid of things that you don't really actually need to, you know, while you're trying to sell your house, and not to buy a new car while you're actually going through getting a mortgage, because that will change your financial landscape a little bit. But really specific ideas and
take
insights.
Take your car out of your living room. Just throwing that out there.
And get rid of all of the dead animals that are cluttering your house. Because I don't think Febreze can take care of that smell. No?
But you know what, guys? Can I say something? My real reason for writing this book is because, as you can imagine, I get, you know, flooded with, thank you very much for the infomercial holding the book up.
I love this book. I swear, I've been carrying it around, and the sticky tabs are unbelievable. Like, I'm writing a blog about it after we talk.
You. But I, you know, I wrote the book because on a daily basis, my inbox is flooded with people asking for advice, telling me their story, sometimes horror story, buying a house, people who've once been homeowners and either they've lost their house and they want to do it again, but they're scared, et cetera. But on a daily basis, if I could just sit and answer every single email, it would take me the whole day. And I said, it breaks my heart when I hear people who've had bad experiences purchasing a property for one reason or the other, because you're not supposed to. It doesn't have to be that stressful. It doesn't have to be, you know, a grueling experience where you're crying at the closing table. It's not supposed to be. Not if you put your dream team in place, your real estate dream team, which I talk about in the book. You know, not if you're educated and empowered going in, you know what to expect. That takes some of the angst out of it. Period. But, you know, on the back of the book, I put, don't worry, buy happy. Cheese. Because that's what I want for everybody. When I bought my first house, you know, I you're right. I talked about it in the book. I cried, you know, when I opened the front door. I cried tears of joy, of pride that I had accomplished that. I want that for everybody. And I want you to be able, after you read the book, I want you to be able to go and tell five other people what they should or shouldn't do, what some of the home buying no-nos are, et cetera. It's all about education because, of course, education is empowerment.
Well, it's Keep Calm. It's just real estate. And I think that your three-year-old is probably happy that instead of answering all of the emails all day long in your closet, that you just hid for a little while to write this book. Where's Mommy?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
I
you.
Asked you
thank
two
you
so of much. The 200 questions that I have. So we'd love to visit with you again.
Your email inbox will be full from Mark.
Yes, I'll email you each question.
Individually.
Don't worry.
I have a website for the book where you can go to order it if it's
yes.
sold out at Barnes & Nobles or whatever. You can go to keepcalmitsjustrealestate.com. And thank you, Mark and Teresa, for all the love. I just appreciate you. It's so much fun, truly.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing awesome. All your knowledge and helping everyone have a better experience buying their first, second, third home.
Thank you.
Your pragmatism and practicality is actually so warm. It's emotional. I like that.
So emotional practicality?
Yeah, it's calming.
Well, we're going to say goodbye.
We got to go.
Yes.
Egypt.
Thanks, Egypt. We really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.